From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Obama's getting involved with strategy when it comes to the Biden campaign for the White House. Ted Cruz wants to sign a new law, or wants to pass a new law, that basically gives representatives special treatment in airports, because we have kings and queens now, and the airport is no longer a common space.
I think what we got more now is a common man who feels a need to speak up every time he has a thought.
Indeed, but before we get to all of that, thankfully, after my cardiac event that I had on Monday, I was able to get a hold of my good friend, Dr. Z, MD, PhD, Silver Fox, and Robot Brain, smartest doctor in the business, and also the only doctor I know that will pick up the phone when he's celebrating his anniversary with his wife.
I can't believe you. Well, you didn't know.
Hi, Doc. I know I did know, actually. Hi, oh. Dr. Z. How are you, my friend? Are you well?
I'm doing okay.
How was your anniversary, my friend, before we get into me? How did you have a lovely time with your wife?
Yes, it was. It was wonderful. We, you know, did something really odd and didn't work for a couple of days.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did take a phone call from your good friend Jack Stein, which we all appreciate. So, yes. Dr. Z, you and I have talked a couple of times about cardiac arrhythmia and how that occurs and what occurs when that occurs. But before we get to that, just so people who don't know, on Monday, I had a thing happen on air when I was in the studio where I felt like a big lurch in my chest. It was very uncomfortable. And then I immediately proceeded to have a panic attack. And I ran outside and I kicked over all the trash cans. And I started throwing the fire extinguishers, ripping them off the wall, and just spraying them all over the newsroom. And then I ran into Brian's office and I said, "I'm dying." And then the EMTs came and they solved that issue for me. So, Bill, what is cardiac arrhythmia and what happened to my body on Monday at around 1:15?
Well, what happened to your, if I may take the second one first.
Yes.
What happened to your body is evidently you developed superhuman strength and started, like, knocking trash cans over and throwing fire.
They were empty. Yeah, don't let them fool you. They were empty trash cans.
They were empty. But
well, you know, there are I don't think there are any good arrhythmias, but there's benign and, you know, there's pathologic. And, you know, one of the top reasons to have a stroke is to have something called atrial fibrillation, where, you know, the wall of the heart, of that chamber of the heart, is kind of, you know, flopping around a little bit, and that can make things more coagulable and send a, you know, send a clot to your brain, hopefully not. But that's not what you had.
No.
What you had is something that people experience a lot of times if they are, you know, prone to every symptom under the sun. No, I'm just kidding.
oh, my gosh. He knows you so well.
Coffee, he does.
Right? Yeah. If you have too much coffee, if you're under a lot of stress, if you haven't slept, you know, these are all things that can kind of trigger a bout of these arrhythmias. And, you know, I've sat in the hospital with somebody watching these huge spikes in the heart rate that are that lurch, you know, that's that lurch in your chest that you're describing very well. And it can be very concerning until it happens a few hundred times. And then you're kind of like, okay, this just needs to stop.
Yeah.
It's more annoying. But I do remember experiencing that. I think I was at the movies by myself and I felt it. And I had a different reaction, Jack. I just said, "Oh, the darkness is coming to take me."
That's kind of what Jack thought. Hey, Dr. Z, first off, thank you for being available to our friend, Jack. And thank you, Jack, for listening to what your body told you on Monday, about almost 48 hours ago exactly, right? Because you said, something's happening to me. I need to not ignore it and at least deal with this.
Well, okay, so Dr. Z, about a month ago, he said, "Jack, your caffeine intake is way too high." He goes, "You got to cut it way down." And I said, "You got it, Dr. Z." And what happened on Friday was I thought I would have myself an additional caffeinated beverage before the show.
Okay.
And so Dr. Z gave me the best advice, which was you got to cut it all out now and take it easy on the old caffeine for a couple of days, because Dr. Z is a great doctor. But is there anything else, Bill, like for people who have this experience, with the panic that comes from that is completely a mental or somatic response, right? It's completely a psychological response.
I would go somatic. Not, you know, it's upsetting.
Yeah,
it's upsetting when you don't know what's going on with your body. But it is definitely a somatic thing that can then lead to panic, because when you feel your heart do that, if you start speeding up your breathing, you're going to speed your heart rate up. If you're excited, you're going to speed your heart rate up. And that's just going to bring about more of them.
Doc, how important is it for people to reach out and seek some attention if they feel this in their chest, if they feel this in their, to get some, get it looked at, go see a doctor. And people ignore signs like this all the time. For whatever reason, financial reasons, I don't have coverage, I can't take a day off work.
Yeah.
People are signing their own death certificates, right? Well, a lot of times.
You know what also causes arrhythmias, almost like clockwork, is sitting in the emergency room for 4 or 5 hours. Right, Spike?
Well, so
that's true, too.
I mean, Bill, so that's what happened to me with the EMTs, is they said, we can take you to the hospital, but they're going to tell you the same thing that we're telling you now, which is you had a little arrhythmia and you panicked a little bit and you're totally fine. And so my thought about it, because I got a bunch of messages from people that are like, oh, you have to go see a cardiologist. But after talking to you, right, and doing some research about it, it seems like it happens to basically everybody. And once you know what it feels like, you don't really have to. Yeah,
but you did speak to a physician. You did speak to Dr. Z.
On his anniversary.
You are a saint, by the way, taking a call on your anniversary.
Yeah.
Spike raises a really important question, though, because we don't want to be too cavalier about this and have somebody, you know, sitting there having a heart attack and going, oh, yeah, this is what Jack experienced. And, you know, it has a lot to do with what it travels with, right? If you are, you know, if you're, 65 or older and, you know, you've had, you have diabetes, for instance, or you know, something worse, it is not something to take lightly. You know, the whole feelings of lightheadedness that you can feel can be, you know, that can be something different. So, you know, Spike, you give really good advice when you say, like, let's get it checked out. If, you know, if it's worrisome, you get it checked out. These things either stick around or they go away.
Dr. Z, you're the best. I love you dearly as my friend. And thank you so much for picking up the phone on your anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it.
Gave me some arrhythmias.
You can go to ZinantiMD, ZinantiMD.com, and you can ask a question of Dr. Z, because he's available for all, because he is a saint of a human being and my very dear friend. Thank you so much, Dr. Z. We appreciate you. Sir, can you believe that? I called the man on his anniversary.
No, I can believe you'd called. I can't believe he picked up. Well, the guy is truly a wonderful man.
I've known Dr. Z for 7 years, right? So yeah. You build a really close friendship over those years. And so for me, I was like, he's not going to mind if I call him on. Right?
I mean, he's going to love hearing
me. He and Stacy love me. They're going to enjoy hearing from me on their anniversary.
I'm sure that's actually true.
Oh, man, they're great people. So speaking of, by the way, helping out your friends, former President Barack Obama, or as Donald Trump used to call him, Obamna.
Obamna.
Obamna. Did you know that that was another pronunciation of that? Can we hear one more? This is a great, this is one of my favorite Trump gaffes of all time.
Obamna.
Is that in the original Hawaiian? That's so respectful of the former president.
So Obama has decided to step in and help out Biden with his potential loss to Donald Trump, and he's on the phone to strategize. Now, this isn't as weird as Katie Rogers from the New York Times makes it out to be. I'm sure that Donald Trump has lots of, no one actually to call.
He doesn't call the Bushes, any of them.
No.
Former president, former governor, none of them gets called. And I'm very glad to hear this story, to read this story, because you got to have the A-team on the field when the game is on the line. And clearly this election, the game is on the line. If you're a Democrat or Republican, it's a pretty impactful election. by all accounts. It's a razor-thin margin by all accounts.
I don't see it.
You want your starters on the field.
I don't see it. I see Biden taking it. I see Biden taking it easily.
That's what we said in 16.
No.
When the polling said Hillary's got all the money, Hillary's got everything.
Problem in 16, this is why people got to listen to me about politics, because I know more about politics than almost anybody else does, right? I'm literally a big brain genius. So what was going on with the polling in 2016 is that nobody was talking to independent voters, because at the time, the thought was, independent voters, what do we care?
They're not showing up.
They're not showing up.
Right.
Who's going to show up? There's no marquee names here. You got Hillary Clinton. You got Donald Trump. What's the difference?
Yeah.
You go back and you read those data sets. They're basically devoid of any independent voters. And then when you look at the post-election readout on the polls, all of a sudden you see the independent voters who they didn't ask, but they speculated were going to go to Hillary, went 2-1 Trump, right?
Yeah.
Now, the problem is that Hillary Clinton had a resume. She had this neoliberal resume that people didn't necessarily like. Now what you have in 2020, the data, because everyone all of a sudden started paying attention to independents.
Hindsight, yeah.
It flipped back 2-1, Biden over Donald Trump. Now, what's funny about that, though, is that Wall Street, if you look at where their money was in 2020, it was on Donald Trump, right?
Better for business.
Better for business.
Yep,
So now what I see is independents who are not too keen on January 6th. They're not too keen on the way that COVID was handled. They're not too keen on these kinds of issues. So it could be in either direction.
Right.
The amount of money that was spent, the amount of resources that weren't acquired. It doesn't matter with independents. They'll go either way on that issue. What Trump has, despite what his followers think, is an immaculate resume to independents, is basically a failed presidency. That's not my opinion. That's what the polling suggests. So when people say, "Oh, it's going to be so close. It's going to be so," I don't see it. It's maybe going to come down to a couple hundred thousand votes spread across a couple of key counties.
Key swing states and key counties.
But if you look at those key counties or whatever it is, you have a lot of people in those counties who are unaccounted for independents, and I guarantee you they are not going to be voting for former President Donald Trump.
What I've heard from Democratic strategists is they're going to remind people of what the Trump presidency felt like. You know, because he'll say greatest economy ever built, and he'll say all these different things. We weren't at war, and those are all very true.
I thought it felt great, personally. You know, I thought it was wonderful.
But to your point, he's going to remind people about the mishandling of a pandemic from a Democratic perspective, from a tax breaks for the rich, the mishandled pandemic, all the things that happened. They're going to remind people in the general.
I wouldn't even say it's a Democrat perspective. Quite frankly, there's a lot of conservatives out there who will say that Donald Trump's presidency was a complete and total joke. $7.3 trillion dumped into the deficit. I mean, think about it, man. I mean, you look at the fallout from the Paul Ryan tax plan. It's a complete and total joke, right? You're going to delay the amount of taxes, basically offset the amount of taxes that are collected, going progressively down from $400,000 a year down to $75,000 a year. That's insanity. That's why he couldn't get it passed in 2014. That's why he couldn't get it passed again in 2016. That's why 2012, 2014. And that's why he had to wait until Trump came in 2017 to try to pass it. So what we have here with a potential Trump presidency number two is he has a resume that enough Americans don't like that I don't see that he gets it. Now, speaking of resumes, by the way, Ted Cruz.
He's got one.
He's got a great resume.
Yeah.
Because he has decided that he wants to have lawmakers have security escorts through America's airports. And I'm not talking about the kind of escorts you're thinking about, Spike, with your filthy mind.
I thought it was pretty brave of Cruz to come out and say what he's thinking.
What he really wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Nobody wants to travel alone when you're going to Cancun. The family's already down
Cancun,
there.
Cancun.
Right?
Have a good time.
Yeah.
Two first-class seats. Nobody's sitting next to Cruz. That's not right.
But lonely. It's a long flight. It's like a six-hour flight. Come on now. All right. So
and boring otherwise.
He wants to have security escorts through America's airports. Now, the issue with this is that basically what he's asking for is special privileges that normally these people only get when they are in the House, in the Houses of Congress, right?
Okay.
So they have the congressional pin,
mm-hmm.
basically lets them, or the Senate pass or whatever it is, and they can basically do whatever they want when they're
right.
in D.C. They can
right.
go wherever they want. They get security wherever they go. Big bada boom, right?
Yeah.
But he's now asking for everybody in that role to be basically treated like kings and queens, and I disagree with it wholeheartedly.
Really?
If you can't walk through an airport like an adult, and which is one of the safest places on God's green earth, they don't even let you bring 8 ounces of fluid into an airport, what's going to happen to you, right?
Well, you're assuming. Well, I disagree with you on this. I think
here
all these
comes
guys.
Spike with a bad take.
There we go.
Everybody loves a bad take. I think we have this drop because I'll
here
keep
comes Spike with a bad take.
You gotta get
Spike's
that queued up faster.
Have a bad take. Everybody loves a bad take, and here comes Spike.
Okay, my friend, you're telling me that
you can't even get 8 ounces through an airport, 2/3 of the way into an airport,
right?
So Ted Cruz could be walking from the car park to the ticketing gate, and all of a sudden, hair gel, shampoo, whatever it is they want to throw at Ted Cruz. You know, it's not a safe environment outside of security. There's a lot going on at an airport before you get to security. And public officials like Ted, whether it's Ted Cruz or AOC,
but
they say crazy stuff,
right?
And people react to it and overreact
you
to it.
You can hire your own security if that's what
well,
you
that,
want.
That's
you're
a different issue.
You're talking about taxpayer dollars going so that Ted Cruz doesn't have to have people say mean things to him?
Well, if it was only mean things, I think you're right on the money. But I think we've elevated, sometimes it's more than mean things these days. And these people are viewed this way because they're doing their job.
Okay, so
not just Ted Cruz, everybody
in
Congress.
What you're telling me is that Ted Cruz has to fear someone throwing a Chick-fil-A sandwich at him as he walks to gate A5.
Or a cup of bleach. I mean, people are nuts these days. Well,
how do you get bleach into an airport, Spike?
Up until security. I could carry a Starbucks cup full. I'm not. Hypothetically,
do people die when they get bleach on them?
There's worse things to throw. I'm just saying. When you're a public figure and in the act of doing your job, whether you're good policy, bad policy, it freaks people out and people overreact.
Bleach is what you're saying. What thing can someone do to somebody?
Cup of acid.
Okay, so we're an acid. So where am I going to get this acid?
I'm not a nut job. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't shop in these arenas.
So this is what you're telling me right now, is that someone hates a politician so much that they're going to wait outside of an airport without knowing that politician's itinerary, and they're going to wait for the moment when they can take a thing of acid and then throw it at that person in the hopes that it somehow scars them.
Or they bring a firearm, Jack.
Okay, a firearm.
You can get a firearm up until security of an airport. You can bring a firearm through ticketing, through gate, all those.
So I know Ted Cruz's itinerary, and I know it down to the second. When he arrives, when he's going to walk in, I somehow have this secret information. Somehow.
Well, it's a delicate subject, but you know when the weather forecast.
No, I think it's a pretty simple.
When the weather forecast is for 10 below in Texas, and you want to go to Cancun, you know where you're going to find Ted Cruz. In the airport. On the way to Cancun. Yeah, I don't like Ted Cruz at all, but I think sometimes people take liberties with our public officials, and they think they have the right to go nuts on them.
I don't think at an airport. NBC, but that's a good point nonetheless. If it starts snowing in Texas, we know the one place.
Ted Cruz needs to be protected.
He's going to be at Austin International. He's going to be trying to get out of Dodge ASAP. NBC has cut ties with former RNC head Ronna McDaniel. Employee objections was the cause. They said, we don't want to be here if she's going to be lying.
Zip.
But the thing is that Fox News host came out. And they said, wait a minute, if somebody did that around here, they'd be fired. Almost admitting something. It's like a secret admission.
I got to watch my Fox.
A tacit admission of the way that they do things over there at Fox News. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.
I asked them to be holding a baby raptor, but they spent a lot of money cleaning up my face.
Or based.
If I had to fight someone so that people would listen to my radio show, I would be horrifically embarrassed. Cringe or based. Fun game we like to play every day, 1:34. So Ronna McDaniel is a former chair of the RNC, and she was let go from that position and replaced with
Laura Trump,
and then whoever that other guy is. And then she decided she was going to go over to NBC, MSNBC, and she was going to be a commentator. And then, what did you know? But Chris Hayes got a little upset.
Everybody got upset.
Rachel Maddow got upset.
Yep, every
Who's
host,
that other guy?
It was Chris Hayes. It was Lawrence O'Donnell.
You got
it
all
was
the collectible
Joy
cards, right?
I do. I have the commemorative digital ones.
The votive candles.
Yeah,
you
I've
have
those
as
with
well.
With right? them all portrayed as saints.
Yeah, I know
of
you have those.
Left-leaning righteousness. Yeah, I've got all those at home.
So they all complained about it, and I understand why. Because for the last 4 years, Ronna McDaniel has lied about the 2020 election consistently. As a matter of fact, she campaigned on the issue that the election was somehow stolen, and then ballpark it 2 weeks after she's let go from her job, she goes, oh no, Joe Biden won.
Yeah,
sorry about that.
Her first time in a chair for money
right,
at
exactly.
MSNBC, or NBC rather, on Sunday morning. Yeah.
So she's shown to basically lie in whatever way she wants. Now, and that's the thing about her. I don't know what she actually believes. And that's really sad, right? Because I want a commentator where I actually know where their bias is and what they actually believe. And NBC has decided to cut ties with former RNC head Ronna McDaniel, basically because everybody came out and they said, we don't want it. Why is she here? What credibility does she have?
Right.
In the same way that why is Kaylee McEnany or whatever.
McEnany.
McEnany. Yeah. I prefer McEnany. I prefer my one. But
that's perfect.
Why is she at Fox News? She claims to be a journalist, which is weird, right? Because mm-hmm. that's like, I don't know, that's like the Kool-Aid man saying, hey, I'm a journalist, right? Kool-Aid's great for everybody. Yeah,
oh,
refined sugars. Who wants some Kool-Aid, everybody? I'm an objective journalist. Nothing I like more than sugar water.
and MSNBC has was Jen Psaki, who was a press secretary for
yeah, but that's a big
Democrats.
That's a big joke.
Well, yeah,
to give Jen Psaki a job. Right?
Well, but I'm saying both sides are doing this. They're bringing people of their stripe onto their networks to give their points of view.
I got
and an air of credibility.
I got to be the White House spokesperson poorly for 6 months to a year, and then I got to get a job at a major.
You got a mega gig for the rest of your life.
It's gonna be
amazing. Absolutely,
so,
tons of money.
Spike, you called it on Monday, right? We have that audio clip really quick of Spike's calling it. He said exactly what was going to happen. And here's what Spike said for the evidence.
I don't know that Ronna McDaniel is going to live through this firestorm of NBC pushback.
Yeah.
Feels like a risky bet.
Yep, there you go. And leaving Laura in there with the correct answer.
So when she was hired, Ronna McDaniel was hired by NBC. Everybody at MSNBC, the far left-leaning wing of their media empire.
What?
That's right.
MSNBC?
You heard it here.
Far left-leaning? What?
They were assured that Ronna McDaniel would never be on MSNBC, but just be relegated to NBC programming.
Yeah.
And the first time she sat in a chair on Sunday morning, I mean, Chuck Todd followed her on the same Meet the Press show and said, the company owes you an apology, Kristen Welker, because we don't know what she...
Wow.
I don't know if she was here to say what she's paid to say or what she really thinks.
Do we have that Fox News clip, by the way? Because the bunch of people on Fox were reacting to this, and they were basically almost admitting to the fact that they...
they couldn't stand up for their principles on air?
Yeah.
Right? Is that basically
it? We got that clip, Laura. Here's what that sounded like.
But if you fire somebody simply because of the ideology that you hired them for, then suddenly their job as an actual journalist out in the field gathering the news becomes very complicated.
So Ronna McDaniel is not a journalist, first and foremost, but also then second of all, are they not kind of tacitly admitting in that they won't stand up for their principles if someone was on that who they vehemently disagreed with? And
didn't they
was,
say that they'd be marched to the door?
Yeah,
if they stood up
a little bit before that clip or a little bit afterwards, they said, "Yeah, if we had someone like that in this building who stood up and said I'm not going to work with that person, they'd be marched to the door." And I'm thinking to myself, so what you're saying is that people at Fox News can't defend the values of Fox News to their bosses, otherwise they'll be fired? Is that what you guys are saying? So you're saying there is not a culture of free speech at Fox News? Because apparently lefty MSNBC has a greater culture of free speech by allowing these employees to say, we don't want to play ball with this lady. So here's what I'm saying. Is this cringe or is it based? It's both at the same time. It is cringe that Ronna McDaniel was first invited, but then also then let go so unceremoniously. If you want her there, if you want her on air, that's you bought the ticket, you take the ride, right?
Yeah.
But then at
yeah.
the same time, it's also based because this is a publisher. This is the product that they want to put out. And you have a bunch of employees who said, I won't work with that person. And they were let go as a result of that because they were shown to have no journalistic integrity. So I say good times all around. And I'm very happy for Ronna McDaniel.
The folks at MSNBC and NBC were really, they made a great point or a specific point to say, we didn't want to not work with Ronna McDaniel because she was a Republican or had a conservative point of view. That's not why she here. We hope to have differing points of view on the station to debate and argue and discuss these various points of view of how this country should be run. It's because she's promoting election denialism and has for the last 4 years, and there's no credibility there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care if someone doesn't believe the election was legitimate in 2020. It doesn't make any difference to me. The difference that it makes to me is when you start running around and making money off of it and you start
raising money on it.
That's where I start to draw the line, because then you're making a product out of your beliefs. Like, just to give you a quick example, Mike Lindell, I think, is a true believer. he's bankrupted himself.
Did you read
about his factory in Minnesota?
They were selling off the equipment that made the pillows, right, at some point?
So the factory locked him out of this facility because he's $200,000 behind in his rent payments that facility. So there's a difference between someone like Mike Lindell, who is a true believer. Like, he believes this to his core so much so that he'll burn through roughly $10 million, now 15, because he owes that guy that $5 million.
Because if you find evidence, and I'll pay you $5 million. And you'll never get a better night's sleep.
So now he's burned through basically the entirety of his fortune. That's
his life's work.
This is someone who's a true believer. I can't stand parasites. I can't stand people who are provocateurs for the sake of being provocateurs. I can't stand people who are... what's the word? They're basically
opportunists.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend. I can't stand it because I can have a conversation with a true believer. I can't have a conversation with an opportunist. And so that's why when people say, like, oh, Jack, why do you give so much credit to, like, Bernie Sanders? Or, like, why do you give so much credit to Thomas Massie? Or why do you give so much credit to blah, blah, blah? Because I'm like, I can have a debate with that person on good faith terms because they're a true believer, whether they're a libertarian or a hardcore socialist. Right.
And differing on points of view and priorities, but they believe what they say.
I can't have a good faith debate with for 4 years. I know to the core of my being Donald Trump won that election. And then you're 2 weeks out from your job and you go, oh, no, Joe Biden won. Sorry.
Fair and the words fair and square put together for the first time in Ronald McDaniel's life.
I want people to adopt that conception, because I think it's really valuable for people, because then you know where to put your time. If somebody's a true believer, that's someone who's worth your investment, because then you can actually have discourse and then you can actually chat. You don't walk away feeling mad because you know that they fundamentally believe it.
I don't agree with Liz Cheney on anything from a political point of view.
That's a true believer.
True believer. That's the lady who said, you know, I don't care if my career is over in Republican politics. This guy did this and I feel that. And that's for the betterment of our nation. We need to move forward in this direction.
She could have played ball, too. I think that people need to think about it like that. Like, what politicians compromise their various positions in order for the things that they believe in? I'll give people another example. Ro Khanna out of
California.
Right? Yeah. He did a bill with Matt Gaetz, of all people. You're talking about a Silicon Valley lib with hardcore Florida conservative. And they were going to pass a bill eliminating super PAC money from congressional races.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
I can have conversations with those men on that particular issue. I cannot have a conversation with somebody who's like, we need to get rid of this super PAC money. And then all of a sudden, Heinz donates
all the money they ever need to run another campaign.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a really quick break. When we get back, no stupid questions, 888-973-5476. You can literally ask us any question your heart desires. Are you curious about what's going on in Gaza? Did Andrew trim his beard because the weather is finally getting nicer? And also, what is Andrew majoring in college? Because he is a good, studious young man. All these questions and more when we get back right after this. There are no stupid questions.
There are only stupid answers.
Yes. I was just listening to this earlier. Concerto in D, Mozart. Spike has nothing to say.
I'm listening. I'm enjoying the music. I'm stomp on Mozart. Listen to him. He's brilliant. It's brilliant stuff.
So can you comment on the Republican agenda on no-fault divorce? So this is going to be a little complicated. No-fault divorce basically says you can get divorced for any reason whatsoever.
Right.
Either party can just say irreconcilable differences. The Republican agenda currently is to try to, not in all states, but in several states, is to try to remove that. So there has to be a reason that you're getting divorced.
Right.
Generally, it's adultery, domestic abuse.
Physical violence
abuse.
But
the problem with this is that you have to prove it, one. And then two, that's largely based in theocracy. Now, the reason that we have no-fault divorce is because once you involve the state in marriage, basically it's a contract for tax reasons. It's basically all marriages in the eyes of the state.
Right, okay? right. From a licensing perspective.
But in the eyes of the church, it's a union between two souls into one soul, so on and so forth, flowery language and all that other good stuff.
Is that why there's a conservative movement to eliminate no
fault?
Yeah,
very much so.
Keep
very
the
much so.
Theocratic
yeah,
bonds
yeah,
in place?
Because divorce is seen as being one of the worst things. It's unfortunate. In my mind, that there are these very trivial socio-political issues that come up when actual policy that affects Americans tends to be trade deals, tends to be infrastructure deals, tends to be things like that, jobs bills, things of that nature. And yet Republicans and both Democrats like to dip their toe into the jacuzzi of culture every so often, and it's generally very cringe.
Well, that's what gets people out to voter culture wars.
Can you guys please talk about Dow Constantine's absolutely horrible idea to decriminalize the juvenile justice system in Seattle? Hello, every potential Kia boy just decided there is no reason to not rob, steal, or and commit felonies now. Get rid of juvenile jail and saying that it's racist is garbage. Jail has to be an option for those kids who cannot seem to get it right. Look around King County. Decriminalization has done absolutely ruining our great city and state, idiots. This is actually, I'm sorry, 253, you're actually wrong. So the criminal juvenile justice system should only be for violent offenders. It should not be for thefts. It should not be for delinquencies. It should not be for truants. It should not be for anything like that. It should be only for assaults, attempted murders, sexual assaults.
Okay.
Because the system, the juvenile detention system, is maybe one of the most horrific systems that we have ever developed. When you say kids can't just seem to get it right, what you're talking about is a mentally ill child.
Right.
You're talking about an impulsive, anxiety-ridden, narcissistic, whatever it might be, child. And that's a child who needs a different kind of care. And so you have to recontextualize your idea of penance and what that actually means. What are we teaching kids who end up in the juvenile detention system? What are we teaching them? That it's okay for them to be what?
Better criminals. That's where they get out of the system.
Well, not only
right?
that, but if you look at the stats of sexual abuse, sexual assault, drug use, violent crime inside, we're telling them that we don't care about them.
Okay.
And that they are better suited to be in a box than they are around people who love and care for them. The reason that the recidivism rate for kids who end up in juvenile hall is something like 50% in some cases is because we institutionalize these kids and they adapt to it. So I'm a bad kid. I'm a criminal. This is the place where I belong. I belong around other criminals.
Since the day I met you, you've been talking about locked care.
Locked care.
For people who need medical or mental health assistance.
Right, yeah.
And I think this texter is labeling it as decriminalizing the juvenile detention system in Seattle is a misrepresentation of what Constantine is promoting, what you've said since the day I met you.
Right, yeah, I'm very consistent about this because the data is very clear on it. And so, like, when you say every potential Kia boy just decided there is no reason to not rob, steal, and commit felonies. So if they are robbing and stealing and they hurt somebody in that process, I don't care if they point a gun at them. I don't care if whatever it is that they do, they should probably go to that juvenile detention center.
Right.
Absolutely. If they steal, if they walk into a weed store and they walk out with a couple of ounces, I don't care.
Right.
Those are kids who need mental health care. They do not need jail. And our insistence that somehow jail fixes crime, does it? Does it? Has anybody ever seen the correlation between jail time and recidivism? Like, I understand that it sounds nice. Put somebody in a box and treat them like an animal, and then they'll never want to do it again.
Yeah.
But the data doesn't pan that out. And quite frankly, it's draconian and it's inhuman.
Yeah, it may make you feel safer as a community for a couple days, couple weeks,
couple weeks,
months.
Right. But it's
not a long-term.
It's just not a good long-term solution. Nope. And I am in favor of it solely from the perspective of community mental health. It's not this, like, woke thing or whatever. It's,
right.
It's that the outcomes are just bad. And it pains me to see that this person thinks that this is in any way, shape, or form a solution to the problem of juvenile delinquency. Because what it tells me largely about society is that most people, and this reaffirms everything I've thought about society, like, we live in a childish society where we are totally fine with treating children like they are second-class citizens, knowing that the likelihood, like, I think it's like 1 out of every 10 kids ends up being sexually abused inside one of these systems. 1 out of every 5 ends up with some kind of drug use in one of these systems. Like, if you don't read about it, don't talk about it. That's a pretty nice place to start.
We'd all come a little more informed to every conversation
right,
we have.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that's, and also Nick in Tacoma, Jack, how much caffeine is too much? Asking for a friend. Dr. Z told me that, what was it? I was at 600 mg's. That's the limit. That's the daily limit.
Okay.
Way too much.
How much is that? A couple doubles?
That's a couple of doubles.
Okay.
That's a couple. So what you really want to stick, because a cup of coffee's got about 80 mg.
Oh, okay.
So you're asking for a cold brew, no water.
Exactly.
Just the concentrate. I used to be a barista. The amount of people that asked for that was concerning.
Right. So the safe amount for someone my age is somewhere in the 200 range.
Okay.
Right. So that would be too much.
And you're listening to Dr. Z's advice? You're following? Dr. Z's advice this week?
I am following Dr. Z's advice week begrudgingly. Bellevue officer hurt in VP motorcade regains mental health benefit. This is such great news because
not the mental health. This guy fell off the bridge. Full health benefits.
Yeah, full health benefits.
They found a way to cover this guy.
Absolutely amazing. New bill makes it illegal for Washingtonians to carry firearms in certain locations. I won't stand for it. Alaska governor accepted more than $55,000 in hunting-related gifts. It's a lot of taxidermied animals. And Washington passes a bill to protect libraries. I'm all for it as a free speech advocate when we get back right after this.